and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
No, what have you guys been up to?
Really? I don't know. What have you been up to?
I don't know. I saw you last.
I've been
dreaming about touching wieners.
Oh, God. Yes. Do you guys know that?
And here it is.
Here we go. I've had an obsession with hot dogs lately.
Like Oscar Mayer wiener hot dogs? No, like
100% beef, delicious with mustard. I'm just like
eating. I do like a good wiener.
Oh, there's so like, good.
Are we talking it's about weird. Like with relish at the ballpark?
No, just straight up, nothing but your beef weenie dipped in mustard, and that has like been my lunch lately, and I'm just like, I can't wait for lunch.
A real hot, like a Oscar Mayer wiener.
No.
Oscar Mayer wiener.
100%
or
beef.
Or sometimes there's
like
better
a bratwurst. Like a bratwurst, like a big
there's
thick
a genetic one. The genetic the generic wiener. No. And there's like the special.
I don't know if I'm going to actually eat a wiener, I want it to be like a good wiener.
Oh, you guys, it's been my thing. Or I call them chicken weenies. I love those too. Like
chicken weenies.
You guys know I had chicken sausages.
I like the Oscar Mayer ones that have the cheese in them.
I have to say,
jalapenos, apples.
So what's the difference between a wiener and a bratwurst?
Bratwurst is very, very thick.
Oh, you're thicker?
I can't
Your Russian accent.
That's
my German accent.
I don't do accents. They originate from Germany.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're big.
I like German wieners.
And they kind of curve a little bit.
A German wiener, you play
from Adam.
It kind of goes a little bit flatter, and then it.
With the generic one, they're just like straight, and you really don't know what's inside of them.
Okay.
They're just small, straight, little flaccid things.
It's like American.
Yeah, they're not. Okay. Yeah, they're not good. I mean, they're no good.
I'm talking the big, meaty.
I like the very fine tuned, like delicatessen wiener.
That sounds way too much work.
They're so good.
They're really good. Like you can get a spicy jalapeno wiener.
Yes, that's been my thing. I've been trying all sorts of flavors.
Yeah, and some that have like cheese in are very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. The Woods ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Woods has the best wieners.
Woods has
ever.
The best wieners.
They do.
Mm. We interviewed
the Woods.
But
those are bratwursts.
We interviewed the Woods family.
Yes.
They make amazing.
They make amazing.
That's probably why I fell
meat.
In love with hot dogs all over again. And ever since I moved away from where Arctic Circle was. When there was an Arctic Circle within driving distance, I always got
you
the
guys,
hot dogs.
You guys, so Bob had never been to a Costco until he met me. And I'm like, Costco.
I still haven't.
Oh, well, we'll have to go because Bob was like fascinated with the fact that you can get like a hot dog at Costco, like that's like 20 feet long.
Yeah.
For like $1.99.
I know.
Yeah. And
it's
so,
amazing.
Yeah, I know. So it was hilarious because he's like, we went to Hawaii and he's like, you know, everything's overpriced. And
the poke dogs.
And he's like, we have to get a hot dog. So we went to Costco when we first got there and he like got.
Did he get five hot dogs? Because he's like, whoa, these are so cheap.
Puts them in his pocket for later.
I'll save that one for my midnight snack.
Hey, one for each day. I'm here.
Hey, Kathy, you did a great job. You want a hot dog?
Oh, man. I haven't had a Costco.
But you know, he feeds me hot dogs all the time, and I love it.
I'm sure you do.
I'm
like, Bob's
bring
hot dogs.
Me the hot dog. I will eat it with relish.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Did you see what I did
there? I see what you did there.
goodness. All right. Well, what book are we discussing today?
What book? We are going to talk about One Day in December.
Oh, I love this
and
book.
It was written by Josie Silver. And mm-hmm. I haven't looked up like a synopsis. Should I?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we can.
Yeah, let's do. Because sometimes it sums it up real good. Yeah. I love this.
Oh, this is a Reese's Book Club book.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
So that probably made it super popular.
So one of the ladies in our book club, they recommended this. We read it for book club a couple months ago. And we just loved the story. So
yeah,
it's a romance novel. So we decided to do it for the podcast.
And I think Faye is such a sweetie. She's so cute. She's like questioning, like, is love at first sight real?
I know. We're going to get into this because I think this is a very interesting question to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have theories.
Okay. Ooh, okay. I can't wait to hear them.
Theories.
I know.
Right. So good theories. Should I try this 3-paragraph synopsis?
Yeah.
Do it. Ooh, 2 people, 10 chances, 1 unforgettable love story.
Mm-hmm.
Lori is pretty sure love at first sight doesn't exist anywhere but the movies. But then, through a misted-up bus window one snowy day in December, she sees a man who she knows instantly is the one. Their eyes meet. There's a moment of pure magic. And then her bus drives away. Certain they're fated to find each other again, Lori spends a year scanning every bus stop and cafe in London for him. But she doesn't find him. Not when it matters, anyway. Instead, they reunite at a Christmas party when her best friend Sarah giddily introduces her new boyfriend to Lori. It's Jack, the man from the bus. It would be. Yeah. What follows for Lori, Sarah, and Jack is 10 years of friendship, heartbreak, missed opportunities, roads not taken, and destinies reconsidered. One Day in December is a joyous, heartwarming, and immensely moving love story to escape into, and a reminder that fate takes inexplicable turns along the route to happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I love it.
It's a very good way to...
So that was like the first 50 pages.
Talk about that book, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was mostly what
that
they went over.
That encapsulates the book very nicely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without giving too much away.
Yeah.
For sure. I remember when I'm reading this, I wrote down this, like, I see hot people on the daily. But
because she's also Courtney and me. And,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, hello.
That's right.
You just don't acclimate to us.
There's no acclimating. But I also see beautiful trees and beautiful sunsets, and I keep living my life.
This is true.
I don't obsess over them.
This is
I'm
true.
Like, hot, cool, move on.
Yeah.
But apparently for Lori, like, this became an obsession for her.
Yes.
Well, it was not just one-sided. Obviously, there was something happening between both of them.
Okay, so honestly, though, they didn't interact in any way, shape, or form. They did nothing but view each other.
Yep. Yeah.
And a connection.
Yeah.
Pure eyesight.
An electric connection happened.
Yes.
They were like magnetically. Oh my God, I can't say it. Magnetically
drawn
connected,
together.
Drawn together. And thank you, Valerie.
So do you believe, and this is truly sight only, we have nothing. Mm-hmm. He could be a serial killer.
He can be.
He could be
obsessed.
Annoying.
Okay,
probably annoying.
Well, let's talk about this.
We don't know.
Have you guys ever had that?
Absolutely. I mean, sure. I see hot people on the daily.
Well, not just hot people. It's somebody that you like internally have like a deep connection
with.
To. It's not just like visual.
Just visual is what this happened.
No, but there was something more.
No, there
they
wasn't.
Both felt it. Yeah, there was.
They only looked at each other.
Yes,
but there was body language.
Sure,
cues,
absolutely.
There was,
I've been like, ooh, so hot. I hope I run into them again. But did I change anything about how I lived my life because of that?
Well, I don't know if she did either.
She did. She spent her weekends hunting him down with her best friend. But she didn't change jobs or anything.
She just, on her free time, was looking for
But she also missed a lot of opportunities.
She wasn't dating anybody else. She was just pining over somebody that she looked at.
Mm-hmm. And it just annoyed the shit out of me. I gotta be honest.
I get it.
I'm like, I get it.
No, I get it. I actually, I get it.
Really?
Yes.
Just purely visual.
Yeah. I think I have had that in my life.
I have.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not me. I like more than vision.
Well, I think
there's so many things that are so much more important to me.
I know. This is a little bit deeper. It's like, there is something just a little more than just vision. Yeah, there's hotness. You're like, oh, hot guy, whatever. I mean, but there's something
Let's be honest. That's the most important thing. Like when you're very first, like if you don't have that spark, like you're physically attracted to somebody, you're never going to take that next like step.
Well, yeah, but there's also a difference because like there's the universal hot person, you know, who's just like, oh, they're hot, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the person who there's just something about the way they carry themselves. There's something about the way they subtly shift an eye and look up. There's something about the way they move
that's flirting.
Captivating to you. No, even if they don't know that they're even looking at you.
So
I think that you start to move differently towards people when you're attracted to them.
Absolutely.
And that's all they were doing was showing that they were attracted. They were fluffing their feathers.
No, here's what I see happen. Okay, they see each other. They both feel something. It's not just physically like attractiveness. There's something a lot more than that. So I think they both were like haunted by that person. And they are sort of looking in crowds for that, hoping to see that person again. Yeah. Because there's something essentially more to that person that they're kind of obsessing and attractive to.
Yes. Then, but it's pure physical attraction.
Then, I know, but then.
Listen to her. Cause
then they happen to meet each other and become friends. And that takes it even further. But they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So they can't.
Right. At the Christmas party, you mean? When they very first really actually meet?
Yeah, they can't make that physical connection. So they're have to be friends, and they have to be friends for years.
So I want to know, this is a what would you do situation.
Okay.
Because she makes a very conscientious choice at that very moment in time.
Yeah.
Because her best friend, Sarah, has been going on weekend hunts for this random guy for a year now.
With her.
With her. So she's very well aware that she's been looking for the boy on the bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sarah just had no idea it was her boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think both Jack and Lori knew, like, oh my gosh, you're the person that sparks flew.
Yeah.
Just visually. The sparks were flying. Yeah. I knew nothing about you.
Yeah.
And she could have said something to Sarah about that. But Lori said she opted not to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you would have done in that situation if that was you with your friend?
I would have been Lori.
You would have done the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Just because that's a weird, like, position to be in the moment. Yeah, like to make that snap decision. Like, you don't want to hurt your friend's feelings.
And you don't want to put your friend in a bad spot.
Yeah. Over. So I would, and Lori's not just any old friend. She's like the best of friends. Mm-hmm. This is not just like casual friend.
They're
like
super sweet.
They are
and
really
she's
cute.
Yeah. Such a good friend. Sarah's the best friend to Lori. They're roommates. I mean, this friend.
They look out for each other.
Yeah.
They genuinely care about each other.
They make up a sandwich together. It's their own, like, crazy their own one. Sandwich.
Yeah. It's all about the portions.
Yeah.
I can't imagine even being that friend to like spend hours hunting just because that's something your friend wants to do. You know, like that's so sweet.
It's supportive. Sweet. Yes, yeah. It is.
Super sweet.
I think that.
So you guys both would have done the Lori path.
Probably. Because
you wouldn't have said anything to anyone. I don't know if I could have.
I don't know if I could have held it in.
I would have said something to someone.
I think Courtney's the best of us at being able to hold it in.
I'm not
good at it either. I would like to say that I would do Lori, but I probably would be all like,
oh my God. Yeah.
That's the guy.
I don't have the ability to hold anything back.
I like to pretend I do, but I don't either. But I have a theory about this. I think, so like, lust at first sight, pheromones, all that's happening. But I really think that when you have like, you know, maybe that connection, that soulmate potential connection, I really think it's paired particles.
Okay, I like that.
I like it's a quantum mechanic explanation.
So
you can make up any theory you want.
I love it. Yep.
I feel like there are people in your life like that you just meet and you forget. And there's other people in your life that you meet.
Sure.
And they stick with you for some weird reason. Well, like they're in.
Yes, but is that person like, I honestly can't be like, oh yeah, I remember I saw this really hot guy at the grocery store like a year ago. Like I couldn't recall that.
Okay, but how about
I have to have some kind of an interaction I can't just look at somebody and be like, oh.
How fast could you tell? Like, I hate to say this, I'm pretty quick at being able to gauge. I would invite this girl to book club.
Well.
And that could be just like as soon as I, even if I haven't even talked to him, I'm like, that's a potential book club contender. That's a no way in hell.
Yeah.
You know, and I would almost say I would go with that 98% of the time I'm right.
Is there anyone from your past that like, because definitely there are people from my past that like I don't think about at all. Mm-hmm. And then there's somebody that I think about all the time. So what's that? And that person is somebody that there was always misconnections. Like I was with somebody, he was with somebody. It was like.
Totally. Yeah, that's totally real. But did you have like an interaction with that person though?
Not when I first met him. I didn't even meet him.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I did not even meet him. I saw him.
Uh-huh. But then you did, though. Later on, you guys did meet.
2 years later, maybe.
2 whole years. But in that 2 year span of time, were you obsessively thinking about him?
Well, I heard about him. And so I was very interested in what, like, I was hearing about him, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because you guys had mutual connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. So yes, of course, they would be more fresh on your mind because it wasn't just some random person you saw at a bus stop.
No, but it was
this just somebody that you had other connections with.
Yes.
So they would be more upfront.
Well, like forefront
on your mind.
Yeah, but it was, it was like, you know, I saw this person, made a connection, thought about him.
Yeah.
Then when some people could have been talking about him and I would never have paid attention, but because I was interested and felt that connection, I paid attention.
It's like when you're pregnant, you notice all the pregnant people.
Mm-hmm. So then when I actually met him, it was, it was a totally different thing.
But in the meantime, you continued to interact and date other people.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why I struggle with this because I'm like,
I have to say, I've always thought about that person.
Mm.
You know, like Lori does. She gets married.
Yeah.
If she gets married, she dates other people.
Mm.
Because that she's like, that person is not available to me. That person is Jack is a friend. She's not he's not available to me. But this person loves me and this person's here and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I just can't handle that love at first sight without that. I just can't do it.
I know.
Quantum mechanics are, yeah.
I don't know. I believe more and more in things like that lately. Yeah. I feel like there's an energy between people.
I feel like there's attraction.
Just energy that people put out, and you're either pick that energy.
I'm huge into energy.
I am too. Like lately, I've been hearing a lot of interesting things, and
I think that we put off different energy depending on like our own emotional state and what's going on in our life, and people pick up on that energy for sure. Yes. Okay.
Even above and beyond.
Like you think like auras, like,
well, kind of, yeah. I mean, maybe we're not even like think even about quantum mechanic or quantum.
Quantum mechanics. You had it right.
Yeah. Quantum mechanics. I mean, like there is, like we
there's just another dimension we just are not
we're, able we might to. Be vessels we know
there's another dimension
we could be just vessels for a whole other I mean who yeah. you so know, you're saying who knows what our physical this physical where we're at in this world right now what our physical presence is like we could be completely energy in a different way and we're hosting that energy, this physical person. But there could be like layers and layers of energy that we have no idea about. So why can't like energy between two people mean more than just like that our physical selves right here?
This type of energy repels and this one attracts.
Like you and I, like physically, we're like, hi, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We're talking to each other. I like the way you look. I like the way whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also like your energy too. Mm-hmm. Like there's something about you and who you are and your energy that's like connecting.
I was rollerblading this afternoon with my girl and someone was coming at us and I just got this vibe.
Yeah.
Like I got as far over as I could. I just had bad energy coming off. Okay, yeah.
Well, I think that's the same thing. I can sense that. It goes both ways. Like there's like, you know, good energy and bad energy. That sounds so 70s, but.
The 70s.
It is what it is.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
I mean, because there are people that you like are but, like but think I will are say, cute.
There's so much, and I can be attracted to so many people, but I don't know. I'm like, is there just one and only?
I don't think there's one and only, but there's other people that you can maybe your energy or some. I don't even know if it's energy necessarily. It's just somehow you're connecting on with another human or entity in a way that you can't explain.
Hmm.
So maybe that's how this book has relevance.
Maybe. I just think sometimes my hormones are one way and they're another
day. I mean, we're reading really deep into this story and how these people connect.
Yes.
But
to me, like that was the premise of this whole story was based around that because it's what she was always like, that's my boy on the bus. And I had to let him go for my best friend. Like that was kind of like an underlying theme throughout the whole story. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how realistic is that? Just to lay claim on something like that.
Totally.
I struggled with that premise because I don't know. I can vibe with lots of people.
Well, so this story takes place over 10 years. It starts in what? 2000?
I don't remember the years.
1999. Right. I think 1999, 2000. When she first sees Jack through the bus window, it's a year before she even meets him, I think, because Sarah, her best friend, meets him somewhere else, and then is not. And Sarah is such a good friend.
She's a very inclusive friend. She's going to go out with Jack. She wants Lori and Jack to be best friends too.
Yes.
Like, this is my favorite human. I want you to know her because she's going to be part of her life because adore her.
Yep.
We're going to go to the Ferris wheel and she's coming too. And we're going to have a Grease themed birthday party and she's coming too. Like, she is included in everything that we do.
Yes.
Which I think is really unique.
It is. They have a special kind of friendship. So like I said, it's not one of those friendships that's like you could maybe question, like it maybe say like, is it worth hurting their feelings for this guy?
Absolutely not. You would keep your mouth shut.
That guy.
But I do think that any guy on this planet, if they were really interested in a girl and she had to bring her best friend along with everything that they're doing, they wouldn't necessarily like that.
I agree.
Unless they had an ulterior motive.
True.
Which he did.
Yeah.
He had that connection. So there's this love triangle going on there.
Yeah, but Sarah doesn't see that. Yeah.
Sarah has no idea.
And Lori doesn't want to admit it. So,
and Jack doesn't want to either.
Yep. You're right.
They're in a weird situation.
They are.
So the three of them become very good friends and they start doing a lot of things together.
Yeah. And yes. The Valentine's night.
Yeah.
So there's a Valentine's night where, believe it or not, Sarah and Jack go on a date without Lori. I think it's the first time.
Yeah.
And Lori, like, she doesn't have anything going on. Mm-hmm. Sarah comes home. She had a little bit too much to drink and she goes to bed, but Jack's not tired. So he stays up and watches a movie with Lori, which I was like, whew.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold.
That is bold.
And that they have like a real heart to heart. That night.
They do.
Is that the night they talk about what their most embarrassing moments?
Mm-hmm.
But that, like, that's having that conversation so with somebody, it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's so connecting.
And that's like, when Lori tells, like, Jack about her sister dying.
Yeah.
You know, when they were little. And
those are very intimate conversations.
Yeah, they are.
Did I ever tell you, like, okay, TED Talk. There was a TED Talk that I can't even remember. People will have to look it up. I'll have to look it up. Like the 36 questions TED Talk.
Oh, yeah. You and I talked about this. We were going to do it together.
We did that. You stare into the other person's eyes and you ask 36 questions. And each question becomes more and more intimate as you go.
Okay.
And by the end of these 36 questions,
Lisa and I were in love with each other.
Already.
Oh, yes.
You will fall in love. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have.
And the girl that gives the TED Talk, she tried that as an experiment and they fell in love. You know?
Or you can tell, like, if this is somebody that you're going to connect with or really have a long, standing relationship
so
with.
So they're having this level of intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it felt borderline, like, scandalous.
It almost did feel a little scandalous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. They connected big time. And I think that they were both, like, moving towards, like, even physical intimacy a little bit, but thought better of it because they love Sarah so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's adorable.
Yes, she is. But I think it was really hard for her. Lori realizes, like, that was pretty close call there. And it's not too long later that they find themselves again alone together. I think after Christmas shopping.
Oh yeah. They see each other Christmas shopping. And so they decide, he asks, Lori, like, what should I get Sarah for Christmas?
Yeah, so they start shopping together
and they find, like, Lori, the perfect gift together.
Yeah.
But then they also have another, like, very intimate
moment, and they actually kiss.
Mm-hmm. Is this
they kiss?
Is this when just after Lori's has his heart attack.
Oh, her dad has a heart attack. It could be.
And I think she's really stressed out, and he sees that she's like emotionally kind of. Yeah.
And they get a little, mm-hmm. And they're kind of surprised by that.
Yeah. They say, we're never going to kiss each other. We're not going to tell anybody. We're not going to do this ever again.
Yeah. That is never happening.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, oops, that was a mistake. I get it. If that happens, but.
Yeah. That's a rough.
What do you think?
That's a hard secret to keep.
That would eat me up.
That would eat me up.
Yeah. Yeah, but they do. They keep that secret. Yeah. But it does eat her up.
And she does.
And so for Christmas, I think her dad had that heart attack, and he survived it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're like, oh, life is short. Let's give you some money. You guys need to live your lives, children. So she, with this money, goes on a trip to Thailand by herself.
Which is pretty bold.
Yeah, no kidding. And then...
I did lock it.
Ooh. Is something going on?
I think someone might have tried the door.
It did sound like somebody tried the door.
It really did.
That was weird.
Wow. Thank goodness I locked it when I came back. Oh, that's scary.
Well, so in Thailand... We're all creeped out by the door right now. It's okay. I have my bear spray.
Do you?
No, I actually don't.
Well, I don't know what I have. I have tanning spray.
Come here, I'm gonna make you glow.
Here, let me blow this in your eyeballs.
I'll keep this at the ready.
I didn't see anybody down there. I looked, but okay. Well, we're fine. Okay. Kids are locked up. It's good.
So in Thailand.
Okay, Thailand was an amazing thing for Lori.
Yeah, so Lori is just enjoying basking in the sunshine, playing in the water. She is out floating in the water when along comes yet another vacationer who happens to be close to her age. Super hot, and his friendly, and she's just floating on her back like a little starfish. And he comes along in his kayak, and I think they almost even bump into each other.
Yeah.
And they have a little connection. And I thought they were so stinking cute. And
I really liked Oscar and Lori together.
And I loved how he called her starfish.
Yes, it was adorable. And so they discover they're both from England, and you know they basically spend the rest of their vacation enjoying each other.
Quite an extended vacation.
It was like a month long.
Yeah, and I feel like they can be different people in this.
It is a bubble, so to speak. Yeah,
because they find when they come back to England.
The vibe is they
a have
different.
The best intentions to stay true to their island selves, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. He's a banker and on the road to being
promoted
in
the
world
of banking and being like a big time banker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're still they really have a connection. They continue to date. And Sarah's really excited that Lori has someone now they can double date.
Yes.
And so the first interaction they get together, Jack is really mean to Oscar. He's a total dick.
He's just kind of being a dick to everyone.
Yeah,
at this point.
Kind of is a dick.
He's just in dick mode.
Yeah, and he's in dick mode.
I think what's going on, because
Sarah and Jack
have been together for a long time, and they're both like in the entertainment industry. And Sarah's kind of a superstar, and she's doing great in the world of being an anchor woman, and he is the DJ, and he's wanting to move up in his world. But she's kind of outshining him a little bit, and I think he doesn't love it. That's really a big struggle, so that's part of his dickage.
Yeah,
I agree.
But he's really, really mean to Oscar, and to me, being rude is like pretty uncool. Huge turn off. If I see that in someone I'm dating, I'm like, you know what? we're done.
I'm the same way.
Like, I'm not, I don't like that. So I was like, I was sad to see that Jack, that side of him.
Yeah.
Because he'd seemed pretty, like a pretty cool guy up until then.
He had up until then.
Yeah.
And then it was like,
Yeah, not cool at all. So they end up, you know, eventually Oscar proposes.
Yes.
But this, his mom is very proper, prim and proper, and has her expectations. And she has pictures of Oscar's ex-girlfriend that Oscar was supposed to marry still up in the home. She references her all the time in front of Lori. And I'm just like,
so rude.
This sounds like a nightmare situation. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot imagine.
So do you think Oscar's mom would be that critical of the ex-girlfriend if Oscar was still, I mean, it's like his mom, just one of those people. Even if Oscar was dating the ex-girlfriend,
would she be critical of that one?
Yeah.
I think she's that kind of a person.
I think she has been not quite to the, like, I think she wouldn't have been quite as terrible to the ex-girlfriend as she was to this person, because the ex-girlfriend was at least her choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she came from wealth.
Yes.
And she came from, and she was, you know, ideal in her eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Laura's cute girl next door.
Yes.
Like, from a hardworking family.
Yeah.
And she didn't appreciate that. So her mom, I'm not like her.
I don't like her.
She's a geek.
She's a
Yes. But, you know, Lori looks past it. They get engaged. And, on the eve of the wedding.
Yeah.
They play a game. Sarah and Lori, it's just the two of them. And I think Oscar's out doing his bachelor thing.
Yeah.
And they're just the two of them together. They're just, you know, playing a game. And it's just a card game, I think. They're reading questions.
Yeah.
And one of the questions asks, how many times have you fallen in love? And Lori
wears her, what is it, her heart on her sleeve.
Well, she lies, but Sarah knows her so well.
Oh, yeah. She's like, Lori can't lie very well, and Sarah knows her friend, so she knows she's lying.
Yeah, and she gets her to confess that she had fallen in love, and then it just disintegrates from there.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah has to ask question after question after question.
Well, she's a reporter.
And Lori can't, I mean, she just can't lie to Sarah.
No. Either. Sarah's going to see right through anything. Yeah. So she tells her, like, they kissed. She is so upset. Sarah is so upset with this betrayal that it destroys her friendship. And the wedding is the next day. And she won't even show up to the wedding.
I thought Sarah made too much of a deal out of it, because it's like, what, she knew that Lori, like, she was with Lori through the whole thing. She knew Lori fell in love with this guy, was looking for him for a year. Oh, it happened to be Jack, her boyfriend.
But that wasn't part of the conversation they had.
I felt like
I don't think she told her it was the boy at the best.
Because she didn't figure that out
until the very end, because the phone conversation at the end.
Exactly. And even if she did tell her at that point, oh, he's the boy on the bus, she still couldn't stake any claim on that.
Absolutely.
Like, it was, I mean, Lori was in the wrong.
Yeah.
She wasn't, because she was feeling what she was feeling before she met Lori, before Sarah met Jack. Lori saw Jack and felt
like Lori was in the wrong to kiss Jack.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
And that's what's so upsetting about her. This betrayal was the kiss.
Okay.
Sorry.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think rightfully so.
I agree.
And but at this point, Sarah and Jack have broken up.
Yes.
And so Jack is at the wedding and he's bringing his new flashy girlfriend. And Sarah doesn't come to the wedding. And so Jack is feeling really, really sad or bad for Lori.
Well, and there's like a situation where they're doing the
toasts
and Sarah's supposed to toast, and Lori never had a chance to tell anyone that Sarah wasn't going to be there to toast. So yeah. Everyone's ready for Sarah to make her toast, and Lori's put in a spot because Sarah's not there.
And Jack steps in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he gives this speech just basically how amazing Lori is and what a great gal and what a good catch and how lucky Oscar is. And it's borderline like to everyone in the room that he's confessing his love for Lori.
Yeah.
And so soon after that, Jack is in a car accident. He loses his hearing, can't work in the DJ world, and I think he becomes pretty intolerable.
Yes, in the press. I mean, he's just so mad. Like, he can't, he loses his job. He is so mad. And he blames everyone.
Yeah.
And everything for it. So he, even Lori, he can't maintain like a decent friendship.
Yeah, he just becomes awful. And he ends up moving away to get away from everybody and to just
he loses Sarah. He loses Lori. Mm-hmm. And then he has to move away. But it's the best thing. He says it in the book. It's the best thing that happens to him, actually.
Because he is being given new opportunities. And he was kind of in a stump.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. And ironically, the person who found him and got his cell phone and called Sarah, the most recent number.
Yeah.
Was this cute guy, Aussie.
He was what's it called? It's not a pharmacist.
I don't know. No idea. What
is the guy that in the ambulance?
Oh, like an emergency?
Yeah.
Personnel? First responder.
Yeah.
Am I right? First responder?
Yes, oh, but God. There's something else. It's like the...
What are you thinking?
The guys in the ambulances.
I'm trying to think.
They're first responders, you weirdo.
They are, but they're the guys. They're first responders, but they're the... starts the P, I think.
Paramedic?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
He's a paramedic. And I think that, like, he's the one... help save Oscar. Yes. And then he talks to Sarah and says, your person has been hit by in an accident. And anyway, they stay in communication.
Yes.
Sarah and
I cannot remember his name.
I can't either.
But
he's Australian.
Yes.
He has he's got a great accent.
Oh, yes.
What are you going to call
him? He's kind of hot. And does he
play
rugby too?
Everyone from Australia is beautiful. What are you
does he play rugby too?
Probably.
I think he does. I want to say
he probably does everything.
I think he plays rugby. He's hot and he has a good accent.
Mm-hmm.
So why would Sarah not just want to be with this guy?
Right.
Instead of Jack, who's kind of a. Just negative.
He's on this downward negative spiral.
Yeah. He doesn't treat Sarah at this point very well.
Yeah. So, and then meantime, not only is that happening, so Jack's away, Sarah decides to move to Australia with this hot paramedic, and then Lori's dad dies. And she's pretty down in the dumps about this.
Well, and meanwhile, Lori and Sarah are becoming better friends.
They reconnect.
And I think that Lori did a good job of waiting for Sarah to have patience. I mean, time to absorb.
She needed to process.
Yeah, she needed to process that. And I thought that I think that the friendship wouldn't have been as able to be salvaged had there not been opportunity for processing.
Yeah. Hmm. But and the other thing that's also happening at the same time is Oscar is trying to move up in his job. And so he's working away. I think he's in Brussels a good portion of the week. And then more and more and more. And then the thing that happens that would be
And they're trying to get pregnant.
That they're trying to have a baby. And then Oscar's mom shows up and mentions that, oh, didn't you know he works with his ex-girlfriend? Oh, and didn't you know that his ex-girlfriend's in Brussels? And didn't you know? And she is just a pot stirrer.
Yeah, she totally is.
But I'm kind of pissed at Oscar because he should have been very upfront about that.
Oh, yeah.
That was not okay for him, for his mom to clue her into that. And I would have been...
Yeah, he should have said something from the beginning. Hey, yeah. Just so you know, what's her name's working with
Instead,
me.
He brushed it under the rug and he tried it. Like, he played it off. Oh, I'm doing this for my job. But it felt like he had other motives as well. And I was like, oh, Oscar, I really liked you. No, I don't.
He's kind of a weird mama's boy in some senses. Like,
that's true too.
He has a weird relationship.
He's moving further and further away from the island boy that Lori fell in love with.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And he's becoming more and more something that she has no interest in.
Yeah.
She's not interested in like a wealthy banker.
He's only available, as
2 days a week or two days a week, right? Like he comes home for the weekend.
That's when she gets, right after being married.
Yeah. Right.
And for an indefinite time period is what we know for the beginning. Like it was supposed to be just for 6 months, a short little spin.
Yeah, but I think he knew all along that wasn't the plan and he didn't share that with her, which was also not okay. Like
it's not okay.
And then Oscar's mom tries to stir the pot even more by having them over for some kind of Sunday brunch. I can't remember what the occasion was. Mm-hmm. And she invites the ex-girlfriend there. And some accident, like the ex-girlfriend's like, oh, she doesn't like flowers in the house,
on the table. She doesn't like it on the kitchen
and
table.
She's like, no, don't put it there. Flowers.
So she, like, I know better than you.
She grabs them from Lori and it spills all over her front.
And then everybody gets mad at Lori. And Oscar
is completing Oscar. Oscar's like, why did you do that, Lori? And Lori's like, I didn't.
Yes. And it's like just all these things start happening where Lori's questioning, like, gosh.
And being questioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then when they've been trying to have a baby and she's relieved when the pregnancy test comes up negative.
Yeah.
And I think that it was at that point that she decides, I shouldn't have been relieved. There's a problem here.
For
sure. And so she decides that, it's time for them to go their separate ways.
Yeah.
So now for the first time really ever after years and years and years, Lori's in a position where she's available. Jack is in a position that he's available. And I don't think this has ever happened.
No. So I think we should leave it there.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah. So it's pretty cute.
I think so too.
How they get this all figured out. And I think they've got a lot of stuff they need to work out.
Yeah.
They're thoughtful people and they're nice. And because of that, they've kind of let, they've let time move them in the directions they've gone.
Yeah.
And they kind of come back to meeting again, like coming into a place where they can maybe be together. So I think it's kind
of my favorite love stories in this book because this book, I mean, it was a love triangle kind of sort of.
Yeah.
But my favorite love story was actually Sarah and Lori. Those two friends who like fell apart, but then they came back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that they healed that relationship.
I do too.
Because that was a really important relationship. And I think those are really invaluable relationships to have besides your romantic lifelong partner.
Yeah.
and obviously we do know that Lori and Jack are going to end up together because it's a romance novel. I mean, we know this.
But how does it happen?
It's really cool. And it's heartwarming and touching. And I think it's worth a read. I actually really, really liked this book.
I love this book.
I want to ask you guys though,
okay,
for Lori and Jack to be together. And this is years later. Sarah's moved on. She's got her own romantic partner. Do you think that Sarah needed to give them her blessing?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And I also was thinking that, you know, I believe that if you are pushing too hard for something, it's not meant to be.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they had to go through all of this. Mm. Like, they might have been meant together when they met, saw each other on the bus. But yeah, maybe they had to have the experience of the 10 years of life to come back together to actually be a better couple, be better than they're better, more mature people.
Yeah.
To, and they have more to bring to their relationship.
Let's play that out. I like this thought.
Yeah.
If they had been like, sparks are flying, I'm drawn to you, I'm getting off the bus, I have to know who you are.
They have sex that night and, you know, maybe they like each other and.
Yeah. They would have lasted, I don't know, a couple weeks.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have gotten to know each other on that other level.
Valerie's actually laying on the floor asleep.
I know, I can
see. And every once in a while she says something.
I turn into a pumpkin.
She's slowly gotten lower and lower through the podcast. She started off the same level as we are. She got a little lower on the that other thing, that rolling cart thing. Now she's laying.
Yep. And her eyes are fully closed.
Well, but my mouth is open still, so, you know.
Oh, you cracked me up. Okay. So who would we recommend this book to?
I would recommend it to everyone.
It's cute.
I love it.
I mean, I don't think it's like the best book that's ever like been out there and stuff. I don't know that I would necessarily like recommend.
I feel like it was transformative. Did I learn anything about myself or the world around me or real character growth? There was some character growth for sure.
There was, yeah.
But did it like give me any aha moments? No, not really.
That's how I feel too. Yeah.
So.
Well, it's just a fun read.
It is a fun read.
And it's cute. And
I do like to watch these characters. They did have some real growth over 10 years.
They did. And for sure it made me think, question, I guess, auras, energy. And is it possible to love someone purely by looking at them?
Well, I don't know if it's, I mean, what if they didn't, they might not have even seen each other, but they felt each other. I feel like it was more that than anything. Yes, they were attracted to the looks, but there was something about that other person that they couldn't ignore.
Mm.
And they were drawn to.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're blindfolded, if they'd gone to that bus stop, would they have been, like, compelled to get off the... Okay, so what part of the brain were they working on? Were they working on their front brain or the back brain? Like the front brain tells them, like, you know, gives them directions. You should do this. Get off the bus. Get out. Like the back brain's like telling them feelings. Mm-hmm. Like get off the bus. Like you need to. Like it's an emotional thing. Like they were working off the front brain, which was like, why would you get off the bus right now? You've got to get home.
Yes, exactly. That's
their
crazy.
Back brain was like telling them,
go, go, go.
Get off the bus or get on the bus or get off the bus.
And that's the thing. We can get hijacked pretty easy by that, by our limbic systems.
Sometimes you just need to not listen to your front brain.
And follow your limbic system?
Yeah.
Usually the opposite is better.
Well, because I think... Well, think about when we were heathens.
All my friends are heathens.
And we had to kind of work on our intuition, you know, because that is what it was. That's what it's meant for. Like, you know, you're trying
our survival.
Your survival skills. Like you feel like there's something watching you. Is yeah. something watching you? Yes, it's a mountain lion. It's about ready to pounce. What do you, yeah. you know, like if you just been like, there's nothing watching me. I'm just feeling weird. It's fine. And then the mountain lion jumps on you and eats your head, you know.
Like, well, you didn't survive. The ones that had a little bit going on up front did.
Yeah. Well, no, that's back brain. Your back brain's telling you.
Yeah, she's saying when you stop. Oh. It's the whole concept of the book Blink.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. What? Did I read that?
I didn't read it.
I read that. Did I? How did we know that?
What's that?
Did we read this together? What was this?
I think we might have read Blink back before Lisa joined
Book. How did I discover Blink?
I think we read it before Lisa came to Book Club.
Okay. That is so weird. That is so weird because I don't know where Blink came into my life, but it just did recently.
Oh.
Never heard of it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So that's really weird. Anyway.
So it's a good read.
Yeah, it's a great read.
Energy, our back brains working together, Valerie.
And I'm like,
What does this mean for us, Valerie?
Oh.
I don't know.
Our back brains are connecting.
I'm going to start watching for you when I sit on buses.
Yeah, I would never jump off a bus. I would never be like, ugh.
You maybe never had an opportunity. Maybe you've never had that feeling. Would I? Let me think.
Have had that feeling, but I'm not going to alter the course of my life and existence.
Well, no, and they didn't either.
Yeah, but I would not even spend another moment hunting for that person.
And like we said, they probably wouldn't have been better off if they had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it gave us a lot to think about as far as that particular concept. So that was an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
And it's much to be debated. and then what's our last question? I can't think.
Favorite line? I didn't have one. Did you have one?
No, I didn't write one down.
I didn't write one down either.
But like I said, I didn't have any like existential aha moments with reading this, but it was a really entertaining,
super cute.
Good read.
Well, I was thinking about what we've talking about, which is, you know, what is the course of our life? What do we do to change it? Like any little thing that we possibly,
for sure.
Any different. It's like that. What is that movie?
But this
with,
book doesn't make you. It doesn't like name? Present that to you. Like it's not part of
Sliding
the narrative.
Doors. Have you guys seen?
Oh yes,
no.
Yeah.
Sliding
that's
Doors.
Cute with Gwen Paltrow.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Which is basically the idea is like she
this decision
on the bus.
It's the butterfly effect or sliding doors. I've never seen that, but yes, this book didn't present that as part of the narrative, but we are definitely reading into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes it, it's interesting for sure. Mm-hmm. Does it matter? Do we like these characters?
Oh, I love these characters.
I like the characters.
They were very well-rounded characters.
Yes, they were.
So.
And, you know, you wanted everyone to be happy. Like Oscar, I wanted Oscar to be happy. You know, I did want him to. I felt bad. Like I was
indifferent towards him.
Oh. I didn't like his decision to not be. I'm upset with Oscar because he knew that he was planning on following a track in life.
Yeah.
And he misled her.
Mm-hmm. He might have misled her, but I think that he.
He wanted
I feel like he felt she was going to keep him connected to his free self, his free spirit.
And I think the bottom line there is don't fall in love on vacation. No.
Which is true. But
their real selves.
You know, or.
Keep it on vacation because, well, I don't know. I mean maybe you keep
hard.
It, maybe keep it on vacation. You just like go.
I don't know.
You go meet each other every Memorial Weekend.
Two more to come on that.
Which
no, actually, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The That's right. That's one way to deal with that, to handle that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Yeah. So anyway, well, I thought it was a great read.
It was a great read too. I recommend it.
I would too.
Yeah. I was going to look up what we've got coming up next.
December.
This is our December. I don't think we picked out a book.
No.
This is going to be,
this is holiday time. So we're doing holiday stuff.
Yeah. Cause it was all about that day in December.
Yeah. And we'll be talking more about New Year's.
We'll post holiday. It. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
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 Cause this is such a
fun time of year.
Such a festive time of year, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. All right. Well, you guys send us your love stories. Tell us, ask us your questions. Mm-hmm. Ask us what we would do.
Yeah.
Because we love talking about that.
Yes, Amen. We do. Yes, we do.
And then rate, review, subscribe, leave us comments. Because we want to know what you're thinking. And check out our website.
This book and quantum physics.
I want to know.
I've got some really great podcasts I'm going to send your way.
Oh my gosh. You're going to get me believing in crystals and stuff? Okay.
No, not even that. I've got
crystals.
Some.
Quantum mechanics is not.
Okay.
I'm going to send you some really amazing podcasts and we'll list those on our website as well. Have so fun. You guys can.
I know. I kind of want to.
You can listen with Lisa.
Become That's a believer.
Like, let's make that happen. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks everybody. Love you.